Thank you for tuning in to our worship service here at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. We're a nation filled with outrage and unrest. I think at the very heart of our problem in America, we'll find the roots are spiritual. Today, I have a message, and the title is just a question. Do you fear God? Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. And I'll be reading from that text as I go through the message. An atheist named Ben Hart won an unusual case in February of this year against the Department of Transportation in Kentucky. He had gone to the Department of Transportation, to the tag office, to buy a Prestige plate. Here's what he wanted on his license plate in Kentucky. I'm God. The Department of Transportation said that vanity plates or prestige plates listed like that violated anti-discrimination guidelines. But I want you to know Mr. Hart took this case to federal court, and the judge ruled that vanity plates are private speech protected by the First Amendment. Now the state of Kentucky must pay Mr. Hart $150,000 in damages. This is an atheist riding down the highway with a license plate that says, I'm God. I think the first commandment of the ten takes precedence over the First Amendment, but most people don't believe it. Pastor Richard Lee sent me a devotion book for the Christian Leader by A.W. Tozier. And on the day I wrote this message, May 20th, here was devotion that Tozier shared. The contemporary moral climate does not favor a faith as tough and fibrous as that taught by our Lord and His apostles. The delicate, brittle saints being produced in our religious hothouses today are hardly to be compared to with the committed, expendable believers who once gave their witness among men. And the fault lies with our leaders. They're too timid to tell people all the truth. They're now asking men to give to God that which costs them nothing. Tozier went on to say, our churches these days are filled, or one quarter filled, with a soft breed of Christians that must be fed on a diet of harmless fun to keep them interested. About theology, they know little. Scarcely any of them have read even one of the great Christian classics, but most of them are familiar with religious fiction and spine-tingling films. No wonder their moral and spiritual constitution is so frail. Such can only be called weak adherents of a faith they never really understood. Today, when I talk to you about the fear of God, I'm not talking about the Lord who has a billy club or a stick who's waiting on you to be disobedient so He can beat you on the hands. That's not what I'm talking about. We have a God of love, mercy, and grace, but we got to remember that He is holy, and there's also a judgment side to God. Let's begin today for our study to look at the requirements for fearing God. Let me give you a good definition of fearing God. Fearing God means that we have an awe and a reverence for the living God. We're not to be scared of God. We must have a humble respect for Him, a reverence for Him. Moses tells us in Deuteronomy, he tells the children of Israel to fear God, and then he tells them why. Now let me give you 9 reasons why we ought to fear God, and this is not exhaustive. We need to fear God because of all that He possesses. Look with me at verse 14 in Deuteronomy chapter 10. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything that's in it. Whether you're stargazing, you're at Yellowstone National Park, or you're at the Grand Canyon, whatever you're observing, I want you to know God created and He owns it all. May 16th issue of National Geographic magazine was dedicated to the study of Yellowstone National Park. This historic place was the first national park established in the United States with nearly 3,500 square miles. There are 300 miles of roads that go through Yellowstone. People go through Yellowstone by the thousands every year. Many of them travel the 300 miles of roads that go through it. And when they leave, they say, well, we've seen all of Yellowstone National Park. Let me tell you something. If you go through those 300 miles of roads through that 3,500 square miles, you've only seen 1% of Yellowstone National Park. Ladies and gentlemen, everything we own will someday belong to another person. The home you're living in right now, it will be bought by another person. The automobile that you're driving will be owned by another person. The clothes that you wear may be given away, owned by another person. But I want you to think about this. God owns it all. If you're going to fear God, you've got to recognize His ownership. The second thing I want you to write down is we ought to have an awe and reverence for God because of His purpose, and that's in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 10. Yet the Lord set His affection on your ancestors and loved them, and He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. God could have chosen any nation in the whole wide world to receive His favor, but He chose one of the most tiny and insignificant nations in all the world, the nation of Israel, to express His favor. Moses is reminding the children of Israel that they were a nation of slaves. And he says, yet God set His affection on you. God set His love on them. And God chose them not because of anything worthy about them, because it was a sovereign choice. So many of us like to say, well, I found Jesus. Well, I want you to know you didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. Ladies and gentlemen, He knew about you before the foundation of the world. It's not His will that any should perish. He issues a call to salvation to us, and we have to respond to that salvation call in order to be saved. The reverence and fear of God is the starting place also for wisdom. If you're going down the highway, which you should not be doing this, and you're doing 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you look up and you see two or three state patrolmen with their radar out the side of the car, several things happen to you right away. First of all, your heart starts racing. The speed limit's 55. The next thing happens is your brain tells your foot to ease on the brake. The third thing that happens is you automatically look down at the speedometer to see if you're getting down from 80 down to 55 miles an hour. And the last thing you do when you pass by the speed trap is you look in your rearview mirror to see if you're busted. You have an awe and respect for the law. What about the person who intentionally sees a speed trap and goes 90 miles an hour in front of the state troopers? We would call that person a fool. When an officer is present, drivers adjust to the law because of the respect for the law and the officer's authority. A driver may not like the authority, he may not want his authority, or he might even be rebellious against his authority, but he still respects it. Many Christians live their lives according to their own set of laws because they don't respect or acknowledge God's rule over every area of our life. Just as a police officer should enforce the laws, then we ought to have an awe and respect for the authority and the law that he represents. We ought to show to the true and living God. and acknowledge His authority with our awe and reverence for Him. We ought to have awe and reverence for God because of God's position. Look at verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and He accepts no bribes. Look at this. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God. God doesn't accept second or third place in our life. When we recognize Jesus as Lord of our life, He has to have preeminence. He must be in first place in our life. I like what the writer of Colossians wrote. Paul said, "For this reason Jesus Christ died and rose again, that in all things He might have preeminence." And that's what it means to fear God. It means to recognize His position. Many of you like to play with your smartphone, go to the App Store. There's an app there now entitled Pocket God. You can go to the App Store and purchase that for 99 cents. And I want you to know this particular app allows you to be called God over an island. Now, you're presented with crisis, you're presented with pandemics, you're presented with unrest, all these kind of things, and what you're supposed to do is have total control over that island. The temptation in the Garden of Eden teaches us about the danger of trying to be God or trying to put God in our pocket. We ought to have awe for His position. Then we ought to have awe for God's power. Verse 17, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. In verse 17, he says, for the Lord your God is mighty and He's awesome. You know, for years and years, we've sung that song about what a mighty God and awesome God He is. It comes from this verse, this passage of Scripture, that the Lord is mighty and awesome. Look at verse 21b. He said, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders that you saw with your own eyes. We think about the children of Israel. They're making their exodus, and they see that the Red Sea was parted for them. We know that when they're traveling along, they're given manna, they're given bread from heaven. They've seen all these miracles. And here Moses reminds them that you worship an awesome God, and they were in awe at all the miracles they experienced. Colonel Jeff O'Leary of the United States Air Force wrote a book called Taking the High Ground, Military Moments with God. And in discussing the question about God's whereabouts in times of crisis, here's what he wrote. The question isn't so much where God is, but where you are. God is right where He's supposed to be, but are you? And then if we're going to fear God, we've got to know God personally. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Psalm 85:9, surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land. Now, the fear of God begins with a personal choice. Proverbs 1:7 talks about a group of people that God will reject because they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. Now, whether you fear God or not, it's up to you. It's a personal choice. You've got to take a personal choice to fear God, to receive Jesus as Savior, to receive the free gift of salvation. But listen, if you make that personal choice to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, That's not just a one-time walking down the aisle of the church and say, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. It's not just a personal choice. It's a perpetual commitment to Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of every area of your life. Proverbs 2:1 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. but it's a personal choice. It's a perpetual commitment, but it's also personal growth. If you continue to walk with God, you learn to fear Him. And then to fear God means there's a powerful change in your life. There was a belief centuries, years ago, that the sun revolved around the earth. But later on, we found out that it is the earth that is revolving around the sun. Many of us have gotten it wrong in our spiritual life. God doesn't revolve around us. We revolve around Him. And we know that we fear God when we have made Him the centerpiece of our lives. And then to fear God, number 7, means to obey God completely. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. It means to obey God in our walk, in our daily walk. We're to obey the principles of God. Now notice this. It means to obey God with our worship. Deuteronomy 14:22 says this, talking about the tithe. Make an offering of 10%, a tithe, of all the produce which grows in your fields year after year. Later on he says, the tithe is required of us to teach us to fear God. Now listen, this is hard for some Christian people to swallow. You trust Jesus for your salvation, and it's secure. You can never lose your salvation. But you don't trust God with the first tenth of your gross income. You know what that tells us? That tells us that you're a person that does not have an awe and a reverence and a fear for the Almighty God. When the Old Testament saints came to the temple, they brought a sacrifice. And now in the New Testament, the Bible says that we bring our tithe. But I want to take that just a little bit further for you. Some people say the tithe is Old Testament. Well, the New Testament says that you ought to bring as you've been prospered. That means many of us, it's required more than a tithe. Let's go over to the book of Acts, and it says in that church, people sold everything they had, and they put it in the treasury of the church to meet the needs of other people. I don't think you want to hear a sermon on that. There's a well-known preacher that made an appeal to his congregation one night for people to come forward and give sacrificially to their building program. I mean, it took a long time for all these people to file down to the altar. Some people were giving jewelry, others were giving checks, others were giving cash. It was a little crippled girl in the church that was on crutches. Her mother had given her a little ring. It wasn't very expensive, but it was special to her. She came down that night, and she put that ring on the altar. After the service was over, some of the people who were on the counting committee came to the pastor and said, "Listen, we have received more than enough to pay cash for our new building." That little crippled girl brought a special ring forward, said, "Pastor, you need to give it back to her. We don't need it. We have plenty." So the pastor was given the ring. He called the little girl in his office, and he sat down with her, and he said, "Darling," he said, "it was so sacrificial and generous what you did tonight, giving that ring. But I want you to know, we have more than enough funds to build our building, so I'm giving this ring back." And the little girl looked at the pastor and said, "Sir, I didn't give that ring to you. I gave it to God. I can't take it back." My friend, tithing is worship. It's not given to the church. It's not given to the preacher. It's given to God. It's worshiping to God. It's a representation of yourself, of your hands. The grace of God is given in your life. So if we fear God, we obey God in worship. Number 8, to fear God means to proclaim salvation. That means we're to be witnesses. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, we know the fear of God. So we try to get men to put their trust in Christ. Paul said the reason I share Christ, the reason I travel from city to city, the reason I let myself be persecuted is simply this: to tell the good news of salvation to lost people. The reason Paul did that is because he feared God. And he also believed in a real, literal place that the Bible teaches about called hell. And he said, I've got to be obedient to witness. The largest force of witnesses we have on the face of this earth are Christian people in churches. And over 95% of us never share Christ with one single person in our lifetime. You know what that means? Is we're a people who don't fear God. Notice what else. If you're going to fear God, you've got to love God supremely. Psalm 118 verse 4 said, let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 through 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. These things go together. The fear of God and the love of God go together. And listen, the more you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, the more you're going to fear God. And listen, the more you fear God, the more you're going to obey God. Now let's look now at the profit of fearing God. God will be your estate planner. God will be your financial planner. There was a brokerage firm at one time when I was growing up. They said, when we talk, people listen. Ladies and gentlemen, when God speaks, people need to learn to listen. If you fear God, there's going to be provision. Psalm 34, verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. I thought about the man who got in deep financial problems. He had to sell his house, and he moved his family into a tent. His wife had to give up her medical care. She had some health issues. His little girl was walking 4 miles to school. Son had to come home from college to live in the tent with the family. And the man said, things have gotten so bad, I think I'm going to have to sell my Cadillac. If you fear God, you lack nothing. In fact, you will avoid a lot of dumb mistakes that people make. You'll avoid all the hassles people get into. God will provide for you if you fear him. The next thing I want you to see is he gives us protection in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. What a promise. So many people feel insecure today, and they look to politicians and their finances and their education and their contacts with people for security and protection. I was reading a devotion the other day that was written to Christian leaders. And it said, if you don't get up every time to preach the Word of God and put your job on the line by telling the whole truth to your congregation, you have no business standing in the pulpits across this nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a pastor, you better trust God for your provision and your protection. Proverbs 1:26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence. So many people don't have peace. They just give any amount of money just to have peace. The scripture says the Lord will be your confidence. Our security is not found in Washington, D.C. It's not found in Atlanta, Georgia. I want you to know our security is in the Lord Jesus Christ and fearing him. And if you fear God, you're going to find purpose in your life. I can't tell you. Over 39 years of pastoring, how many people I've counseled with, young, middle-aged, and older, and they'll tell me I've never found God's purpose for my life. Well, undoubtedly, you don't fear God. Because Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, if you'll trust him, he will make your path straight. Do we fear God? Do we have people, local, state, nationally, in politics that fear God? Let me tell you what's going on mostly. Politicians are concerned about the political waves and the polls, and being true to their constituents and to their party with total disregard for what God's word says about how we to seek his wisdom and his guidance when we're in positions of leadership. Over the last several years, church attendance across our nation has gone down. Now people are protesting. Open our churches. Release the restrictions. I'm all for that. Some of the same people that are protesting, you weren't there when we were open on Sunday nights. You weren't there when we were there on Wednesday nights. And let me tell you this. In America, the latest statistics tell us that the average church attendance of the most faithful members of our churches in America, they attend one time every 3 Sundays. You know what that tells me? We don't fear God. Tony Evans told the story about a pastor in Jamaica, Reverend Taylor. He was preaching a powerful sermon one Sunday, and a man stepped in the aisle and began to heckle him and criticize his message. And so Reverend Taylor just remained silent. Finally, the man sat down and shut up. Reverend Taylor started preaching the word of God again. The man stepped out in the middle of the aisle, caused all kind of commotion and heckling the pastor. This went on 3 times. And finally, Reverend Taylor stopped and prayed. And here's what he said, and I want to read this to you. He said, Lord, I'm seeking to communicate your word to these people. This man refuses to respect that. Would you demonstrate to this man before these people today that he is not to play with the living God? Amen. Reverend Taylor picked up with his sermon right where he left off. The guy interrupted again, and within 5 minutes, the heckler had a heart attack and died in the center aisle right before that congregation. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the only way for us to do something meaningful, personally, and as a nation, with our life and the life of this nation, is to begin by having an awe and a reverence for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me ask you a question. Do you really fear our awesome God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Some message, some scripture that we don't talk about very much because it makes us a little bit too uncomfortable. But when we fear you, we realize that shows that we're totally dependent for everything that goes on in our lives. We're totally dependent on you. If you're listening to me now, and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you're feeling the conviction in your heart that you're a sinner, we all are, beginning with me, in need of a Savior. Remember, Jesus lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He shed his blood willingly for your free gift of salvation and for mine. And he rose again the third day so that we'd be assured that we'd spend eternity with him in heaven. He says, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Listen, he's the one that issues the call. We've got to have an awe and a reverence and a humble spirit enough to say yes to that free gift. Would you do that right now? Today, if you're a believer, let me ask you a question. Are you growing in your walk with him? Do you fear him? Do you have an awe and a reverence every day? Do you ask him to guide your footsteps every single day and give you divine appointments to be a good witness for him? Before the Lord is going to send us an evangelistic revival, Christians in his nation are going to have an awe and a reverence for Christ. Are you willing to make that decision? Lord, I want to thank you for meeting with us. And I want to give you thanks in advance for people who are going to make decisions as they're watching on their electronic device to live spirit-filled, spirit-empowered lives led by you and living to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening today. If you need prayer or you need to know more about accepting Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to call the number on your screen, 706-234-1841, and one of our staff members will return your call on Monday and give you the assistance that you need. I hope you'll continue to pray for us. We're keeping an eye on the COVID pandemic. Hope you have a blessed week. We look forward to seeing you soon.